You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. A bill at the state capitol that would toughen penalties for someone convicted of trafficking a minor in California, it made national headlines, not so much for what the bill does, but for the reaction and backlash State Assembly Democrats received after initially killing the bill in its Public Safety Committee. In a legislature that is overwhelmingly run by the Democratic Party, it was a Republican senator who was able to declare victory on her bill, Senate Bill 14. But that was only after days of drama, vote reversals, and even a rare occurrence of Governor Newsom stepping in and supporting the GOP-authored bill. We'll speak with an advocate and expert on child trafficking in just a moment, but we're going to begin with CAP Radio politics reporter Nicole Nixon on the political tug of war. Hey, Nicole.
Good morning.
So what exactly would SB 14 do?
So it would classify trafficking of a minor as a serious felony or a strikeable offense. That's a legal classification for crimes that are subject to California's three strikes law. So if somebody's already been convicted of two serious felonies, they would automatically get a sentence of at least 25 years up to life in prison on a third conviction. And these are crimes like rape and murder, you know, burglary, violent crimes involving a gun. So this bill would add human trafficking of a minor to that list.
Mm. And the timing last week is pretty important, right? Because lawmakers just they broke for a month recess for the summer. So a lot had to happen last week. And this bill went under consideration in a Democrat controlled public safety committee in the assembly. So what happened?
Right. So the day that lawmakers recessed for a month for a summer break, there was a deadline for policy committees to pass all their bills. Because this bill failed on a Tuesday, you know, and then there was backlash on Wednesday. They called a special hearing on Thursday, you know, right before adjourning for a recess to get this bill passed to meet that deadline.
Mm. And who did you hear from? You have some sound to share.
Yeah, so the bill passed the Senate earlier this year, I will just note, without a single no vote. The author, Republican Senator Shannon Grove, she knew it would face some challenges in the Assembly Public Safety Committee. So she brought a human trafficking survivor and a former Alameda County District Attorney to testify in support of her bill. But another trafficking survivor came to speak against it. So here's April Grayson.
As a survivor, I can see the positive intent of this bill. However, as a survivor who has been criminalized and demonized by the legal system that was meant to protect me, I have to remind the authors in this committee that this bill, I'm so sorry, will actively harm many survivors of human trafficking, especially the Black, Brown, Native, Poor, LGBTQ women and trans survivors who are already least likely to see justice.
So April Grayson says even though she was victimized and trafficked, she was still sentenced to 20 years in prison. And the legal system didn't differentiate between her and her trafficker, so she had to sit next to him in court. Just a horrible experience. And Senator Grove said that she has actually changed the bill based on April Grayson's testimony. Her bill was previously classified trafficking as a violent felony. And Grove said, you know, what happened to Grayson was wrong, but because of criminal justice reforms and just more awareness generally about human trafficking, especially when it comes to minors, Grove says that what happened to April Grayson would very rarely or not happen these days. So here's Senator Shannon Grove.
I recognize her as a victim of human trafficking, a victim of the criminal justice system, but her story is very far and few between because of the criminal justice system reforms that we have today in our system. The laws have changed, and we're making sure that that never happens to another individual.
Okay, so given that the state senator made some revisions or amended the bill, you know, to try and close those potential shortcomings that can impact individual lives, why did Democrats in the committee, they chose not to allow the piece of legislation to move forward initially, and they got so much backlash. Why were they opposed?
Yeah, I think that was the question, especially knowing that this bill passed the Senate unanimously with a lot of, you know, progressive Democrats voting for it on that side. So most Democrats on these public safety committees, both in the Senate and Assembly, are pretty criminal justice reform minded. They are opposed to or at least very skeptical of raising criminal penalties. Assembly member Isaac Bryan is one of those members. He said during the hearing that California has just gotten it wrong on criminal penalties for years.
All evidence has shown that longer sentences don't actually stop things from happening. All they do is increase our investment in systems of harm and subjugation at the expense of the investments that the communities needed to not have this be a problem to begin with.
And Brian said he heard the testimony there of April Grayson. He was very concerned about victims getting caught up in this and being criminalized. It's very top of mind for him that people of color are disproportionately harmed by the criminal justice system. And there's also some debate here about how long convicted traffickers can go to prison. Some Democrats have argued that they can already face very long sentences under state criminal code. But a former district attorney has said that it's very rare and that in most cases, a trafficker could get sentenced to 5 years on their first offense, but actually be out of prison within, you know, about 2 years.
Mm. Governor Newsom also got involved. I mean, he's a different arm of the branch. Is that unusual for the governor to step in for legislative matters?
Yeah, it's pretty unusual, I would say, for him to get involved in legislation he's not already sponsoring. He does, you know, support some legislation, but especially to weigh in on a bill from a Republican that's failed and have it come back. He told reporters that he actually called Senator Grove and told her that he wanted it to pass. The new Assembly Speaker, Robert Rivas, also got involved. And I think that pressure, you know, resulted in that bill getting that new emergency hearing just 48 hours after it had already failed.
And it moved forward.
Yeah. So lawmakers, like I said, they, you know, there was some parliamentary stuff that had to go down for this to happen. They met on Thursday. The plan was to adjourn after floor time, like 10 a.m. on a Thursday, and all go back to their districts for a month. So right before they were set to adjourn, you know, Democrats motioned to let this committee meet again to reconsider the bill. Republicans actually tried to force a vote directly there on the floor so everybody would be on the record there and then. The hearing did happen. It was a very interesting hearing because there was no author presentation, no witness testimony, no debate. The entire hearing lasted 90 seconds. I've never seen that happen. So it was just the vote and adjourned.
Wow.
And it passed.
Right, right. And this was a Republican-authored bill in an overwhelmingly Democrat-majority state legislature. Given that, like, there are members of this public safety committee that are largely Democrats, they say that longer prison sentences are not the answer, tougher penalties are inequitable. You know, there's this focus on rehabilitation, but it didn't stick this time. What do you think ultimately forced the hand of lawmakers to move this bill forward?
Well, I think it helped that the governor got involved and the speaker got involved. I don't think the Democratic caucus was actually prepared for the backlash to this. I mean, it was on, it made national headlines within a day. And I will say that, you know, criminal justice is a very nuanced conversation, but killing a bill to increase penalties for child trafficking was not a good look for the Democrats. And this is just the kind of victory that Republicans have been wanting to get in California when it comes to criminal justice. On the other side, though, the chair of the committee said that many of the members of the committee that had voted against the bill or not voted for the bill in the first place ended up receiving, you know, death threats and just horrible things as well. So this whole thing got very heated very quickly.
Mm. What did Republican lawmakers have to say?
Well, they talked about, you know, this being the kind of victory that they wanted to be. They're taking credit for getting this bill passed. They're pushing for tighter criminal penalties. The Assembly Republican leader called it a failed criminal justice approach, and he called for a return to law and order. So here's more from him, Assembly Member James Gallagher of Sutter County.
The pendulum has to swing back to a reasonable middle where we are actually protecting the people of this state, where the Public Safety Committee is actually concerned about the safety of the public. And I think a message was sent today. We are seeing a turn here. It started here today. The public pressure is building, and we're going to continue this fight. We're not letting up.
Nicole, you've joined us in the past about these kind of legislative 180s in the last session. I mean, some involved fentanyl bills that the Assembly Public Safety Committee initially, they didn't want them to move forward. They reversed course for similar reasons and backlash. You know, there are political implications to this. There was a San Francisco Chronicle, an op-ed piece, and this was last week. There were lots of them, but I'm just using this one as an example. And I'm curious if you're hearing the same thing around the Capitol. The headline read that California Democrats are taking absurd positions on crime and housing. They're making Republicans somehow relevant again. Do you think some of these voters or votes could benefit Republicans down the line. We have a big election in 2024.
I think Republicans are really hoping that's the case. I think it will remain to be seen. I don't think the discussion on fentanyl is over. You know, they're doing some things on the periphery. They did decline to move any bills to increase penalties for dealing fentanyl. But they're doing things like a task force, making naloxone more available in schools and things like that. So I guess, you know, there is an election coming up and we'll see.
Nicole, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Nicole Nixon is Cap Radio's politics reporter. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio, and we're talking about Senate Bill 14, which would add longer sentences and stiffen penalties for anyone convicted of child trafficking in California. So we just heard about all the political drama last week over the bill. Now we want to bring in Ashley Bryant, the co-founder of Three Strands Global Foundation. That is a nonprofit based in El Dorado County, which focuses on ending human trafficking. And they are a sponsor of SB 14. Good morning, Ashley.
Good morning, Vicki. So nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, your organization sponsored SB 14. What was your reaction to how the process worked out last week to get it out of the Public Safety Committee?
Yeah, it was a really interesting day. You know, we have sponsored legislation before mandating trafficking in schools back in 2017. But this was a really interesting committee meeting, especially when all of the committee members abstained the first time around, the Democrats in voting. And we were disappointed, but hearing from the governor and then hearing back from the committee that they would rehear and reconsider the bill was a good moment for us. So we're glad that it moved forward and it's headed to appropriations, and we'll hopefully continue to get to the governor's desk.
And this is just a very important point or a reason to bring up and learn more about trafficking and how it happens in the United States and California, but specifically in our area. Your nonprofit is founded in El Dorado County in El Dorado Hills. How prevalent is human trafficking here?
Yeah, I think it's super important for us to have this conversation right now because we want to debunk myths, right? This is not the sensationalization that has happened quite frequently in the media and in movies and such. This is really our vulnerable populations that are being coerced. There's fraud and even force, but the force component of it is not as seen as much in the crime of human trafficking as fraud and coercion is. And so it's important for us in the anti-trafficking movement to really communicate that this is commercial sexual exploitation, which is sex trafficking, and or forced labor. Those are really the two types of trafficking that we focus in on in the United States. And in California, we know that trafficking is actually happening. We are one of the top three states in the nation where human trafficking has high numbers. And we also know that the average age between 15 and 17 is what the U.S. Department of State tells us is happening. In Sacramento specifically, I think it's important for us to talk about the fact that this is a crime that hides in plain sight. So when we think about trafficking, it is not, as I said, a stranger that comes and grabs someone off the street. It is more likely that it is happening with our vulnerable populations, and our vulnerable populations, those being those who are impoverished or homeless, those who have or LGBTQIA, those that might have vulnerable things that are happening to them, a disability that traffickers exploit. And that often happens through coercion. That happens with a connection, whether that be online or in person. And then that trafficker exploits that vulnerability in order to actually traffic either through commercial sex or forced labor that individual.
Did your organization, your nonprofit, begin because either you or someone in your organization has been touched by trafficking and wanted to do something to stop it?
Yeah, absolutely. It did. And you know, I'll start with, we are really fortunate at Three Strands to have reached 864 plus individuals who we call clients, who are survivors, and place them into sustainable jobs and or education, and almost a million kids through our prevention education program called Protect. But this agency began because my good friend's daughter was trafficked, and that really brought to the forefront this idea of how do we lean in and what can we do to prevent human trafficking in the first place. And so Three Strands has really focused on prevention and say we exist to prevent prevent human trafficking, really missionally, so that we can stop the crime before it starts. Mm.
Given that your focus obviously is focused on victims of human trafficking and sex trafficking, what do you make of the argument from Assembly Member Isaac Bryan? He's a Democrat, you know, about the argument that he tweeted this, but Nicole touched upon it as well, that the people most vulnerable to being charged with trafficking are the victims of trafficking themselves. Charges are used to leverage their cooperation and prosecution, and their survivor status is erased, with many currently incarcerated in both youth and adult prisons. And we heard from that example from that woman's testimony earlier that happened to her. Are you concerned that this bill can continue to do that?
Yeah, no, I think that it's really important to have this conversation. Criminal justice needs to happen, right? And at the same time, we need traffickers to be held accountable so survivors can move forward with their lives. I think that's really important. I just shared with you that, you know, we have actually placed, and both in services as well as in jobs, sustainable jobs, over 800 survivors. And in those stories, I think it's really important for us to be listening to our lived experience experts and where things are happening, what's happening now. So when we talk about criminal justice reform, and specifically this bill, actually it relates just to minors. Most of our clients are 16 years old and up. So, but as this one relates to minors, I think one of the things we have to remember is that this is a bill that really allows for affirmative defense or vacature, right? So if there is someone that we know is a survivor who has been victimized in some way, but then also is a part of the trafficker's recruitment, then we want that survivor to actually have that sentence vacated if they were arrested, right? Now, in part of what the reporter Nicole was talking about is that, and even April talked about it in her testimony, she was criminalized. That should never happen. Ever. And we see as advocates that the tide has changed, and not only law enforcement, but anti-trafficking organizations, victim service advocates are all recognizing with a trauma informed lens, victims and lived experience expert survivors for who they are, and not to criminalize them. We want the traffickers criminalized. We want those who are exploiting and taking advantage of the vulnerabilities that I mentioned earlier, we want them to actually be held accountable for the crime that they have committed. And so for survivors, we want them to be elevated. We want lived experience experts to be in this discussion, which for the last 13 years, Three Strands has been in those conversations. And that's why we, when we saw this bill from Senator Grove, we felt like this is a great bill to be able to sponsor and get behind, to tell the truth about human trafficking, but also to be able to hold traffickers accountable.
Ashley, thank you for the time and your work.
Thank you so much, Vicki.
Ashley Bryan is the co-founder of Three Strands Global Foundation, that is a nonprofit based in El Dorado County with a focus on ending human trafficking. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.